Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I also forwarded you a draft for your review prior to this meeting of a proposed complaint to enforce Florida's Public Records Act due to the intentional violations of the act by Mayor Lindsay. The intentional non-compliance of violations of Florida's Public Records Act, in my opinion, has become endemic. There's one overarching cardinal rule related to compliance with the act, and that is you cannot exhibit or show any type of evidence of intent to not comply. You have to make every effort to act in good faith and fully comply when a request comes in, regardless of the person who makes the request, the reasoning behind the request. You're not even entitled to that information if the requester doesn't want to give it to you.
Yeah, you may not remember this, but there was actually a controversy in Escambia County a couple of years ago about somebody making an anonymous or trying to make an anonymous public records request and then having their IP address requested and unmasked as a result of a public record request of the IP. You're not supposed to have that problem. You are supposed to be able to anonymously request these things, but you are allowed to make a public records request for any reason of any public official involving any communication between them and anybody else about the official business of that governmental entity. Period. And if there is a text, if there is a metadata of the existence of a phone call that took place, the phone call itself, of course, is not a public record because there's no public record. There's no recording of it. And by the way, recording of phone calls in the state of Florida is illegal unless you get both parties' consent. Just so you know. Now, I actually think that law ought to be changed. And there was a court case not that long ago that we have actually changed that law in one regard. You know, parents can record the phone conversations with suspected sexual predators with their minor children without the consent of the sexual predator if they turn that over to law enforcement immediately. I think public officials, everything they say should be subject to potential recording in a phone conversation. I think that should be an exception to that law. But we're not there. That's not what the law currently says. Anyway, so there's no public record when it comes to a phone call. But the existence of the phone call is a public record. The existence of a text and the text itself is a public record. The existence of a piece of paper, okay, if you write it down, it's a public record, okay? So, you know, if you have a conversation in the hall, that is not a public record because there's no physical record to be secured. But everything else you're supposed to give. And so Alex Andrade says, look, I have made public records requests of Mayor Lindsay over the last 10 months, going back to at least as far as the whole Scott Collins debacle, and she's not complied. And not just her, but we have a culture of noncompliance with this at the city of Milton, and this is a problem for us.
The culture at the city, it needs to be reasserted that compliance with Florida's Public Records Act is a non-discretionary ministerial obligation of everyone holding a position of public trust at this city. And because of the multiple examples of Mayor Lindsay violating that over the course of the approximately 10 months and multiple requests to discuss this with her, multiple attempts to get her to comply with these requests and produce her records, she simply refused.
She's even says in, you know, one of her emails back to him when he asked for a public record from her, your unprofessional communication with me on July 22nd of last year did not include a request for records. Further, why are my communications with Don Molinaro relevant to any work you've been asked to do by the city council? You take direction from the government majority, and there has been no action item pertaining to investigating me. Has there been a secret meeting outside of the Sunshine that Mr. Jorgensen organized, similar to what Mr. Spears disclosed in his complaint about the effort to fire Don Molinaro on July 31st? I'm unaware of any authority you have to investigate me. You should not be exchanging Milton taxpayers. You should not be charging Milton taxpayers for work that serves your own interests, sir. Well, again, it doesn't matter the motive. Now, you could have the conversation about whether he was within or not within his authority as city attorney, and whether it was or was not billable hours charged to the city. I mean, those are all fair questions. But if he asks for a record, she has to give it. Period. And as he explained many times, there is a whole series of records that she never has given, especially between herself and Don Molinaro, the former clerk that got fired, and all kinds of other records that have not been provided either. And why? Why would the city have an interest in this?
At this point, if someone is intentionally refusing to comply with the act, if they're in an elected position, the city has to take actions to protect itself and inoculate itself from individuals who will expose the city ultimately to liability if the city doesn't take actions to enforce this law.
I mean, somebody's got to enforce the law. If it's not going to be the state attorney, or if it's, you know, the city attorney might be the next best thing, basically, to say, hey, this needs to be produced because we are not in compliance. And if we're not in compliance, then we could get sued for failure to comply with records requests that the public is interested in.
So tonight, I'm asking for a vote to authorize me to file this lawsuit tomorrow.
We'll come back to this in just a second, because there's always drama in Milton, and having the attorney for the city request of the city council the ability to file a lawsuit to compel the mayor to disclose public records that she is obligated to disclose. I mean, that's fun. That's happy times. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We were just seeing some typical morning traffic building up on North Palafox Street in between Fairfield and Jordan Street this morning. And if you were on T Street at the intersection with Cervantes, you can experience some delays there this morning as they get that traffic light figured out. That is still malfunctioning there. Otherwise, looking good on our roadways this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to the Milton City Council meeting, where there's another meeting tonight and another meeting on Monday, so I'm sure Milton is going to provide lots of episodes over the course of the next week. These two meetings, well, tonight is the... There's lots of stuff, but one of the key topics is going to be who they're going to hire as the next city manager when Randy Jorgensen officially retires in about 3 months. Anyway, back to City Council Mike Cusack. Mike is often aligned with Marilyn Farrow and Heather Lindsay, so it's Mike and Marilyn and Heather versus the other six board members. She's not a voting member, but she's on there, and, you know, Alex often finds himself aligned with these six. Of course, it's his job to do the will of the majority, regardless of alignment, okay?
Council, I got a question for Alex. I'm looking at the last page here, and item E about all cell phone text messages and email communications between Mayor Lindsay and the following individuals. Is there some reason why the whole council wasn't included in that request?
Didn't we already submit one in June? Because I remember submitting one myself here at the IT for that very reason. So we already have submitted that public request on our regards because I was here and I submitted my phones.
Gavin Hawthorne says, not only did I submit a public records request, but I have submitted my own phone to public records requests. So it's not that everybody wasn't named. It's that you don't have to name the people that have already complied, sir. You don't have to seek a lawsuit to enjoin the disclosure of public records that have already been disclosed.
So the private citizens that are in this request, you just... assume that they knew something or that was communication in regards to this?
And by the way, there's a whole list of private citizens that do engage in actively, and a couple of them are actually on Milton boards, or at least they were. And so they're not private in the, like, just random innocent people. They're people who engage in politics all the time. And Alex Andrade is saying Mayor Heather Lindsay's communications with them are part of this records request. And remember, a lot of this goes back to, I suspect, the fact that, like, Scott Collins was getting lobbied by members of the public and told that there was this whole scenario of terrors. I mean, just so there's reasons why you would want to know what were the communications between the mayor and some of these folks on these matters.
I assume that the mayor exchanged communications with those individuals, yes. And if they are public records, if they're regarding city business, the mayor needs to turn them over.
And again, it doesn't really matter why you want them. If they exist, you have to turn them over, period.
So what you're saying is you know for a fact that these communications took place by naming these individuals, or are you just assuming that's happened?
Councilman Cusack, I'm not omniscient, but if the mayor actually engages in good faith and reviews her public records, I'd be able to know what was actually communicated by the mayor.
And here's again a case where you have a city councilman who I think just doesn't understand. I don't know whether he's violating the records law or doesn't understand it. I think it's probably a mixture of both. Because, again, there are text messages that came out in the Ethics Commission investigation that had not been disclosed previously and I think still have not been outside of that one context by Mike Cusack. I know I've never received them, and I asked for them last year from the clerk of the city.
Why are you asking for these people's communications?
I already explained that, Councilman Cusack.
No, you didn't. Are you asking these people to give you their communications?
No, I can't ask a private individual for their communications. I can ask someone who is an elected official sitting in a position of public trust to produce records in their possession that are public records, yes.
So what you're saying is the private individuals here, you're not requesting anything from them directly. You're requesting it from the mayor with communications to these people?
Yeah.
That's all. So they don't have to give you anything if they're a private citizen.
If they don't serve on a city board, if they're not an elected official, they're not subject to the Florida Public Records Act.
Okay.
You know, again, just for clarity's sake, because I think people don't understand this. If I'm having text message interactions with, for example, Commissioner Jeff Bergosh, a sort of locally famous case, right? If he and I are talking about movies, it's not a public record because it's not public business. Just like if he and Stephen Barry are texting back and forth about movies, it's not public record because it's not public business. It's also not a Sunshine violation because they're not talking about a voting matter. But if he and I are texting back and forth about, you know, stormwater or building codes or road maintenance, that's a public record. Now, you can't get it from me, but you can get it from him. And he has to provide it, whether it's on his official phone or his private phone or in some private email. It does not matter. If he's talking with anybody about public business, that's a public record, period. So, you know, it's astounding the degree to which even elected officials in this case either are not willing to comply with the law or don't understand it or both. So they did have a vote. It was 6-2, and they are going to go ahead with this lawsuit. I assume Alex is going to file that lawsuit, or will have filed it yesterday because he said, give me permission to file it tomorrow, and this was on Tuesday night. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay. This is the Pensacola Morning News.
We see it every day. A guy comes into the men's clinic and guess what? The pills quit working, or they're sick of the side effects. And you know what else we see? Guys not confident in their relationship. At Wave Men's Health, we're the leaders in bedroom confidence. Understanding if you even need ED or low T treatment should be the first step, and the next should be choosing the treatment or treatment combination to build your confidence. Our urologist and physician group is offering professional, modern treatments with success rates as high as 92% and decades of experience. Our doctor's not going to send you an email with what might work for most people. We are results-driven. Concierge. You don't pay for medication. It's included, but you invest in the time it takes to get you where you want to be. We've built an experience with discretion that takes the worry out of going to the doctor. In fact, we've normalized it for guys all over Pensacola. Come see our friendly team in Pensacola and find out why we've been number one in men's health for years. Get a consultation and low T blood work with results on your first visit for $99. Get your confidence back in the bedroom and beyond. Go to wavemenshealth.com and book your appointment today. Wavemenshealth.com.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, Whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Gallery Night is Friday night in downtown Pensacola. And this month, it's a celebration of our local military and Pensacola Navy Days. Wear red, white, and blue and show your support. See GalleryNightPensacola.org. Enjoy a family-friendly and free movie at the Gullside Pavilion with cinemas in the sand Friday evening. Bring your chairs and blankets and enjoy The Parent Trap at sunset. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We have friends, Barbara and Bruce, remember, who went to China, and I'm sure you're in the travel business that you've been there, but they went to Peking where they make the ducks.
They make the ducks. Hello. Waiting for Guffman. It's so good. Oh my God. I had not seen the video of the Columbia graduate going on stage to protest against the Israel war and for Palestine. This has got to be the funniest thing I have ever seen. We'll come back to this in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
Andrew, not seeing too much on our roadways this morning. Looking pretty good. If you're on North Palafox Street, you can expect to see some slowdowns. Just typical morning traffic in between West Fairfield Drive and East Jordan Street. And if you're on T Street at the intersection with Cervantes, that traffic light is still malfunctioning. So expect some. Just treat that as a four-way stop. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you are clear into Pensacola, heading eastbound on 98. Seeing a lot of buildup right at the Navarre Beach Causeway. Going east into Hurlburt Field in Windhaven. And if you're coming in from Pace or Milton, you are good to go all the way into town. If you see anything else on the roads, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy, traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So I honestly had not seen this video. The woman's name, I think, is Bixia Chen. And it says in the, they run the scrawl and beneath the thing that she's a master's of social work, advanced clinical practice, neither of which is all that surprising in this case. But she goes on stage at Columbia. She's walking across, and she comes up on stage, and she's got her hands zip tied together. Okay, so or handcuffs. I can't quite make out, but something that really looks, you know, like in solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine, I guess is what she's expressing. And so she's going to show how she's protesting Israel and do this amazing thing of ripping up her diploma when they give it to her. So they give her the diploma, and she goes to rip it up. And because her hands are zip-tied, she can't physically rip it up because she can't get her hands far enough apart to rip it up. So she gets kind of halfway and then gets stymied by the zip tie.
Okay, so you know that at least her and someone else thought this was a good idea because she didn't zip-tie her own hands.
That's right.
So that went through two minds before.
And this is why you workshop your protest stunts at home, because somebody could have said, oh, man, that diploma's too big. You got to make those zip ties farther apart. You know, we need to have some dress rehearsals. You know, if we're going to put on a show, man, you got to, you know, workshop it a little bit. And they didn't. And so as a result, you have somebody getting a master's degree.
I bet it wasn't in physics.
It was in social work. I love social workers, but anyway, a master's degree in social work goes on stage and is so inept at world that she can't rip up her own diploma because her hands are zipped. I'm sorry, but this is grand. Oh, and I mean, she's never getting a job. Who would ever hire such a person? Who would ever hire? Like, I know that a lot of these firms are promising that they're not going to hire even Columbia grads in general or other grads in general. But, you know, she applies and they're like, but I saw this video. You're a walking lawsuit waiting to happen. No, thank you. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, speaking of protests that didn't go all that well. Police and riot gear have now cleared out more pro-Palestinian protesters from the campus at UC Irvine. Dozens of protesters Wednesday reportedly had been occupying a building at the university. The LA Times says 200 officers moved in on the crowd, made several arrests, and took down the tents.
I'm sorry, David. I'm over here trying to rip up a diploma with my hand zip tied together. I'm finding it's a lot more difficult than I anticipated. So please come back to me later. Here, let me see if I can if I can do it for you in real time. I protest. Oh, dang.
That didn't go well.
Practice before you perform.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen today is facing more cross-examination at the former president's trial in New York about testimony he paid Stormy Daniels to keep quiet at his boss's direction.
Robert Costello told a House Judiciary Subcommittee yesterday that in 2018, Cohen told him the former president had nothing to do with the deal. Legal experts say the Trump defense could use Costello's claims to try and impeach Cohen's credibility.
Fox's Eric Shawn. Russia's President Putin's in China meeting with President Xi, who says their nations are friends forever.
He and Putin want to counter what they see as a U.S.-led world order. We're told they talked about the war in Ukraine, Putin praising Xi's initiatives to resolve the conflict by diplomacy. For Russia, China is more important than ever since many countries turned against Moscow when it invaded Ukraine.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Looks like a beautiful morning out there. Clear skies right now. We've got 68 degrees. Pensacola police say an arrest has been made in connection to that shooting at Club Paparazzi on Sunday. Police say 31-year-old Javon Booker was arrested yesterday afternoon. He's accused of shooting another man at least three times.
Chief Randall has made it perfectly clear that shooting in Pensacola is not going to be tolerated. That's why he has absolutely no problem having our partners with the DEA, the Florida Highway Patrol, and the U.S. Marshals assist us with these type cases in order to bring them to a quick conclusion.
PPD's Mike Wood, and he says that arrest was made near Belmont and DeVillers Streets in Pensacola and was without further incident. Booker's now charged with carrying a concealed weapon and firing a deadly missile inside a building. Wood says that shooting does remain under investigation. One person has died after a drowning on Santa Rosa Island yesterday. Officials say that happened at Langdon Beach, just inside the Gulf Islands National Seashore Fort Pickens Gate. First responders say they pulled that person from the water and attempted life-saving measures, but they were unsuccessful. Escambia County deputies are investigating what appears to be a pattern of vehicle thefts. Multiple Dodge Charger Hellcats have been stolen this year in our area. The most recent theft happened just in the last week. Investigators say that car was parked in a driveway on Mobile Highway. On surveillance footage, you see a person near the vehicle. Its lights flicker, then they drive away. The owner and the key, though, were both inside the home at the time. In a separate incident earlier this year, another Hellcat was taken from a home on Nine Mile Road. Deputies say the high-profile muscle car thefts are a trend that's been posted about in videos online. It really took off in Atlanta last year, and the thieves reportedly steal the vehicle, then are able to re-VIN and re-key the cars before they sell them. Investigators say it's the first they're seeing of this here in Escambia County. The sheriff's office still looking for information on Tuesday's drive-by shooting on Diego Circle. That happened about 4 p.m., led to three people being shot inside a home. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 it may be tied to at least some of the other shootings that have been reported over the last few weeks.
It's bad enough that you try to shoot somebody and kill somebody, but then you just don't care about the surroundings either. You don't care about a school being nearby. You don't care about kids being nearby. You don't know whose children they are. All you care about is yourself and getting some sort of revenge.
And the other shootings reported include a triple homicide at West Jackson Square and another ambush-style fatal shooting just a few days later on Topaz Avenue. The suspect vehicle from Tuesday, a 2018 Hyundai Sonata, was located, but there's still no information on suspects in the case. Well, preparing for life after Randy Jorgensen again. This evening, the Milton City Council holding a second workshop this week where they'll be discussing moving forward with a new city manager. During Tuesday's workshop, Councilman Jeff Snow suggested the best option was sitting right in front of them.
We all hoped Mr. Collins worked out. It didn't work out. So we're willing to go back out on the street. We had 45 applicants the last time. And I saw only two or three that I really felt comfortable with. Ed Spears is one of them.
Last month, Jorgensen hired Spears as the assistant city manager, now Snow, proposing when Jorgensen leaves in August, Spears be elevated into the role for 6 months before deciding to make him permanent or starting a new search. 6:35 at News Radio, and Jimmy has our traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, you can expect to see some delays coming off the bridge there, going southbound right across the road from that Tom Thumb. There was a vehicle crash right outside that Starbucks there when you're coming into Pensacola from Pace. So expect delays. We have one lane open, but traffic is moving slowly this morning. And a couple of malfunctioning traffic lights this morning at the intersections of T Street and Cervantes in West Pensacola and on Giddy Lane and East 9 Mile Road. So treat those as four-way stops. Use caution going through those intersections. Otherwise, looking good here on the roads. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
A beautiful sunny day today. Temperatures warming up near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. As we go into the early morning hours on Friday, showers and thunderstorms will start to move in. We are under a slight risk of severe weather. Storms could be strong, heavy rainfall. High on Friday near 84 degrees between the rain. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 72 with another round of rain moving through the evening hours. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And looking like an absolutely beautiful morning, it's sunny and 68 in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Caitlin Clark's WNBA regular season debut with the Indiana Fever against the Connecticut Suns garnered record-setting viewership. ESPN announced the game, which Indiana lost 92-71, drew in just over 2.1 million viewers, making it the most watched WNBA game in nearly 23 years. The House of Representatives have passed the Ticket Act to create transparency with ticket pricing for live events. Sellers will be required to implement all-in prices, ban speculative ticketing and deceptive marketing, provide full refunds for canceled events, and offer comparable replacement tickets for postponed events with buyer's approval. The bill now heads to the Senate. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, all three major indexes reached record high territory. The Dow Industrials gained 349, the NASDAQ up 231, the S&P 500 up 61. That's Your Money Now.
This ad furnished by Nesmatizu LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Autotrader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Autotrader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KellyBlueBookKBB.com and Autotrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
So I do a lot of featuring of the dysfunctional things that happen at the Milton City Council meeting or the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. And, you know, to the extent that they have meetings, they've been skipping meetings lately a little bit, the Escambia County Commission meeting. But I always one of the things I may have remarked about recently is the Pensacola City Council meetings actually run very, very well. They're a good study in contrast. You know, it wasn't always this way. And I don't want to say it's all related to just shifting of one person, but there has been a just one person shifted on city council, and ever since then things have been a lot different. Anyway, so I tell you this in the context of it's a little bit of a funny episode, but I actually found it to be kind of an endearing episode. The Escambia Children's Trust, not the issue of the taxes that they owe or the CRA money or any of that. This had to do with simply an agreement to continue to do work with them in the city for a government program that I think it was a teaching the kids in the summer at the one of the community centers, I think was kind of the issue itself doesn't really matter that much, other than it's worth noting that it was having to do with a government program. And that's why Charles Baer, the city council member had for District 2, had raised an objection. OK, so he raises an objection.
I have some real issues and concerns about the Children's Trust and its future. I know there's another discussion that's the mayor mentioned it about the CRA and the taxes and things like that. That'll be interesting to watch. But just I feel like the Children's Trust was created to activate other organizations, nonprofits, other community organizations other than government entities. So that's the reason I will not be supporting this tonight.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't particularly agree with him, but I understand his concern. Okay. So he raises a concern. He doesn't want to vote for this item. Mayor Reeves.
I respect Councilman Baer's position on that philosophically. What I will say is where our feet are is these are dollars that are trying to help the youth of this community, period. And I have the utmost confidence in our Parks and Rec Department and Ben and Tanya that know how to do this. And if we know that these dollars one way or the other are to improve outcomes for children in our community, I will bet on us to be able to do that in our Parks and Rec Department with years of experience in doing so.
Okay, so, I mean, they have a really normal kind of political disagreement about whether it's appropriate to fund a government program through the Children's Trust or whether it's supposed to be non-government programs. Fine, okay? They both want to help kids. It's just a matter of how we get there, right? So then they go to vote on the issue. This is where it becomes, to my mind, both kind of entertaining and endearing at the same time.
All right, that passes 7-0. Our next item.
Wait, what now? Charles Baer was supposed to vote no. So they get on to the next thing.
Thank you. I need a motion and a second. Moved by Councilwoman Breyer, seconded by Councilman Wiggins. Councilman Baer.
Mr. President, I'm sorry. I misvoted on the last vote. Can we change my vote to no on the last vote?
Uh-oh. He meant to vote no on principle. Remember, he explained why. And then he hit the wrong button. So he hits the wrong button, and then in the middle of the next item, he asks to go back.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. Have one dissenting, Councilman Baer.
So he voted no on the wrong item, which was he thought they were voting on the revote, like they were going to do the revote, and he actually voted no on the item they meant to vote yes on.
And do we need to go back and do a revote for everyone for item number 10?
Council President, you can go back to reconsider, but per your rules and procedures, it would have to be a vote to reconsider.
All right. Yes. In a motion to reconsider?
So the clerk's explaining.
I'll make that motion to reconsider.
You got to actually do a motion to reconsider. Right.
Seconded by Councilman Wiggins.
That has to be voted on.
And please vote to reconsider.
So they're voting to reconsider the vote where Charles Baer wants to change his vote, right? And then...
Does that look right?
Uh-oh. He voted no on the motion to reconsider that was his own desire to revote.
Oh, vote to allow the reconsideration. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
So, Councilmember. All right. Your vote is. Yes.
So everything is screwed up now, right? And then.
Mayor Reeves.
And so, you know, they finally, you know, they got it right. But it was funny because.
Mayor Reeves.
First, apologies to Councilman Baer and the rest of the council for making a case so compelling that Councilman Baer forgot to vote no. So I apologize.
I thought you changed his mind.
I'm sorry for being so persuasive that I made you forget what you intended to do. And again, it's funny. And the reason I wanted to share it is because it's really a good indication of kind of how healthy Pensacola City Council is operating right now. And even Charles Baer made a note about that afterwards. He just was kind of grateful that this was his own screw up. And he felt like in the past, when he'd been on city council before, this wouldn't have worked itself out.
In regards to the item that we talked about, I'm sorry, I didn't really want to be a pain about that item. I just wanted to kind of express my opinion, and then we had to go back and reconsider it and everything. It created much more spectacle than I thought.
It was a little bit of a spectacle for those of us who watch these things and care and find it entertaining. But here's the key. Here.
I would have, but I do appreciate my fellow council members who allowed us to reconsider it, because I can tell you when I was on council between 12 and 16, that never would have happened. I would have to just live with my vote. So I will try and be more cautious about how I vote in the future.
So Heath feels like, you know, in the past with the relationship between then Mayor Hayward or the other members of the city council or his position on the council vis-a-vis those other people, that level of jovial collegiality did not exist, and even getting them to allow him to revote when he pressed the wrong button wouldn't have happened, which is sad that he feels that way. I don't know whether that's true or not. Of course, he feels that way. That's fine, and he may be right, but it's not that way now. And Pensacola City Council has been very dysfunctional at times in the past, and so the fact that it's better now and is so functional, in my opinion, frankly, it's a byproduct of the personalities that are on there. It's also a byproduct of Mayor Reeves and understanding that, you know, if he has something, he wants to go to them and sell them on it beforehand so that we can have a, you know, an agreement on the vote. I mean, I think all the things are being done right in that regard. And it's an indicator that, you know, local government can be healthy, and there's hope. There's hope for Milton. There's hope for the Santa Rosa County Commission. There's hope even for the Escambia County Commission that maybe one day. 6:48 here on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic for us. Jimmy?
If you are coming in from Pace or Milton and you're taking US 90, you can expect to see a lot of traffic backing up. That's due to a vehicle crash earlier that closed one lane. So we got one lane open all the way to that Starbucks right across the street from the Tom Thumb at the Scenic Highway intersection. Backed up about halfway across the bridge there.
Again?
Again.
No!
Again this morning, I know. Well, it's not due to a telephone pole, so that's good. But it's still just one lane open. And if you're heading eastbound on 98, you can expect to see a lot of buildup at the intersection of 87 and going to the Navarre Beach Causeway there. Traffic all the way into Windhaven Beach going into Hurlburt Field. We do have a couple traffic lights out, and somebody called in and mentioned that I have been saying and treated as a four-way stop. I do apologize. If it is a flashing yellow light, you can just roll through
yellow
there.
Always go.
And if it's flashing red, then that's a stop sign.
Ready
okay,
stop.
So yeah, so we have a couple traffic lights out, one at T Street and Cervantes in West Pensacola, and one at Guidy Road and East 9 Mile Road. So, yeah, yellow light, roll through there, flashing red, stop sign.
And it's actually a problem when people stop on the yellow.
Right.
Because that's just stopping in the middle of the road.
Exactly.
Which
yes.
You must not do.
Yes. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This report is sponsored by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you've been considering the prospect of selling your home, wondering whether, you know, the market's gone cold, whether the market's going to get hot again, what are interest rates going to do? Will I get more buyers when the interest rates go down? Will they ever go down? What about the summer versus the fall? What about change of station for the military? All those things. What about my geography, my price range? I mean, great. All good questions. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty have the answers. They'll help you ask better questions. They have a fantastic photographer. She was talking about this the other day on Pep Talk, how they have this one particular person who is like just a genius at staging, photographing your home so that, you know, when you look on social media, like, oh, that looks great every time. Like, that's part of the process of getting the best price for selling your home. So if you're thinking about it or buying, you know, either side, give her a call. Ask her your questions. Talk to her and see if she's not the one you want to retain as your realtor. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 437-1620 is my phone number. Oh, the follow-up text that we were getting on this Columbia diploma ripper-upper girl, which, by the way, I didn't even tell you the full story. Like, she's got her hand zip-tied, goes up there and tries to rip up the diploma, can't do it, gets so flustered in the moment that she just throws it behind her head. Trust me, the people, it's even funnier than you think when you watch it. But people are now texting me in, you know, is this going to be a new TikTok challenge? I don't know. Yeah, probably. Maybe so. Anyway, one of the things that I wanted to give credit, Charles Baer, just briefly going back to the city council meeting, he said something the other day that I just, I'm so on board with this. This is the kind of proposal, and I've been mentioning this off and on for years. I really ought to leverage my relationships with these state representatives a little bit more on this one, because I want this to be a state law. I genuinely, like, for a couple of decades, I have wanted this to be the law of the land, period. I'm going to let him explain it, and then I'll tell you why.
One thing that I've been concerned about and thinking about is school district facilities and the use of school district facilities for other programs, for city programs, and I really wish that there was some way to talk with the school district about utilizing their facilities for organizations, for city events, sports, things like that. I feel like that when I was growing up, that we always played baseball or different sports on city property, or not city property, but school district property.
Yes.
This was in Virginia, not here. And I'm just hopeful that at some point we can work better together, I think, so we can utilize their facilities. And we don't have as many facilities as they do, gym space and things like that. But it would be nice if we could utilize those as well.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And not just for city events, but just for as a park. I mean, when I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, what we would do is we'd go ride our bikes down to the school after school. And we would play on the merry-go-round and the jungle gym and the monkey bars, and we'd play baseball on the baseball diamond. This is my elementary school. I remember this as vividly as if it happened yesterday. And we had a big brick wall, and we would, you know, practice pitching against the wall, and we'd play a game. I don't even remember the name of it now, but where you throw a racquetball up against it and try to catch. I think we called it pitch. Anyway, like, the school was the park. Well, now we have, you know, fences up around the school, and they lock the gate and tell you to keep out all the other times of the day, to which I think that's public property. When the school's not in session, it can be open to the public. And, I mean, the only reason why not would be legal liability and or maintenance if you have graffiti. But if we can manage to make this work with public parks, why can't we manage to make it work with the other public parks you don't have access to on the schools? So I don't know whether you need to legally indemnify schools against lawsuits for injuries or something like that, but it seems like the same basic coverage that would protect the city on a city park could protect the school on a school park or a playground or something like that. And I genuinely, genuinely wish that kids could just go play on the tennis court or the, you know, maybe you'd say the football stadium because that's access inside a facility or something like that. But even so, how many times did you go to the track and just run because it was available? I mean, that kind of stuff. So I completely agree with him, and I'm super glad that he brought this up. It's something I bring up periodically, and I really wish we would have a state law requiring this kind of open access to the other public parks that are enclosed within the gated community of our public schools. 654 on News Radio Pensacola, I'm Andrew McKay.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Operation MWR is Saturday night at NAS Pensacola with performances by Little Big Town and Maren Morris on the Portside Lawn. Gates open at 5:30 for this free event exclusively for DOD cardholders and escorted guests. Presented by GovX. Remember, for everyone's safety and enjoyment, leave bags, coolers, and weapons at home. For more information, visit NavyMWRPensacola.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Can women not enter Thunderdome? I mean, it's a fair question. 6:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy, why'd you break Highway 90 again?
I don't know. I just have
what
a...
What were you thinking?
I am a
2 days in
person.
A row?
I'm just so sadistic. I caused the vehicle crash that is backing up Highway 90, US 90, coming in from Pacer Milton. We should probably explain what we're talking about. On US 90, if you're coming in from Pacer Milton, there's a vehicle crash in Pensacola right at the exit of the bridge there, right outside the Starbucks. And that is backing up traffic all the way to the construction zone on the bridge. There is one lane open, we have been told. So it's moving. It's just moving a little slowly. So expect some delays there this morning. If you are coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarro, you are clear all the way into Pensacola. However, if you are heading eastbound on 98, you can expect to see a lot of traffic right after the intersection with 87 and the Navarre Beach Causeway there. Going all the way into Wind Haven and building up right outside of Hurlburt Field. And we have a few traffic lights out in Pensacola. T Street and Cervantes is malfunctioning light, and Giddy Street and East 9 Mile Road. So remember, if it's a yellow light, you can roll through there. If it is a red light, flashing red light, use it as a stop sign, and always use caution when you're approaching a malfunctioning traffic light. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy, or should I say no thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne, we just report the news, we don't make it happen. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Wells Fargo's facing legal action in connection to an alleged Ponzi scheme, a lawsuit filed in Palm Beach County last week. The bank is being accused of aiding and abetting in a $300 million scam that impacted more than 1,000 victims. Former President Trump's private jet apparently hit a parked plane in Palm Beach over the weekend. The Federal Aviation Administration released an accident notice that found Trump's Boeing 757, which apparently is nicknamed Trump Force One, clipped another plane at 2 a.m. on Saturday
morning. It sounds like a
flavor
of bubble gum. Yeah. I'd like to have me some of that Trump Force One bubblicious.
No injuries were reported on that one.
And was that why Biden was making the quip about the plane?
Oh, boy, I didn't hear the
maybe. Okay,
the
go on.
And we have an update on Jimmy Carter. This is after his grandson said that he was coming to the end. The Carter Center CEO, Paige Alexander, was asked about Jimmy Carter's condition. He says he's doing fine and enjoying peanut butter ice cream at home.
Of course he is. Outstanding. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. All right, a very quick future news. Does Mayor Lindsay comply with the lawsuit when it gets filed to turn over her public records? No, she's going to fight that to the bitter end. Does she return to office?
Yes.
I said no.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.